Podtacular episode 330, Ford and the Don episode 5 for November 5th, 2012. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm, and with me is Halo Fan for Life to help cover the final episode of Halo 4 Forward Unto Dawn, which, if you have not seen it by this point, especially from the time that we're actually recording this show, there's something wrong with you.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I think you and I are both ready for some Halo 4 action later tonight.
Oh, yes.
I don't know about you, but I will be... I'm going to go against the what Frankie and everyone else is saying at 343, and I'm going to go ahead and start campaign on Heroic. That's just how I do it. I know people have said don't try that because you have to get used to the new enemies being the Prometheans, but I'm going to do it anyways, and I'm going to stream it. So if people want to watch me fail, or heck, I might even do well, I will be tweeting later tonight after I get back from covering my local GameStop release.
Nice.
I will be tweeting that out and playing that probably most of the night. I'll probably get some Pizza Hut and just kind of stay up until I finish the game.
There you go. I'm actually going to do it on normal. Normally, I do it on Heroic as well. But you know what? I did that with Reach. I did it on Heroic, and I did just fine. But because of these new enemies, I thought, well, you know what? I'm not in any kind of a hurry to get any... achievements or whatnot. I know I'll be able to get them easily later on down the line, so I'm just going to go through on normal, have fun with it, and then go from there.
I just want to do it that way to just say I did it on Heroic first time.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I understand. And while you're eating your Pizza Hut, I'll be eating my my Doritos and drinking my Mountain Dew for double XP.
See, I'm kind of forgoing the double XP. I don't need it. I can do it without the double XP.
Well, I can too, but. What the heck? And I'm actually tweeting codes. I've been doing it all. Sorry if you heard that shake. That was my dog.
Okay.
I've been tweeting codes all weekend.
Very nice. I don't drink Mountain Dew or really eat Doritos that much. So, yeah, I'm kind of at a loss for that.
Yeah, make a sacrifice for one day.
But well, I don't like sodas and like I don't eat chips.
No problem. I get you. Yeah, I'm giving away several bags of Doritos at my GameStop tonight as well.
Very nice. Yeah. I will be giving away some codes, not necessarily WXP codes, but Avatar codes.
There you go. I wish I had those to give away. Lucky you.
those I actually are fortunate to have. But enough about that. Let's talk about some Ford and the Dawn, which at this point... This is probably the closest thing we're going to get to a Halo movie as possible, guys, and they have done a fantastic job with it. The finale especially shows just the kind of passion that they have for Halo, and I don't know about you, Halo Fan for Life, but I think you and me feel the same way, that this series was just the bomb.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it is what we've been waiting for. I think we might have mentioned this or talked about it before, but, you know... It was hard to fathom which story they were going to cover, you know, considering all the lore that's been had already, been written about in games and whatnot. But I think this was a great way to do it, to go back even further with a story we didn't know. And then the way that they transition into what will become Halo 4, they just did a fantastic job. The effects were great. The acting, I thought, was fantastic. Direction, lighting, sound, music, the whole thing was quality everywhere you looked.
Yeah. It was fantastic. I still think the whole, as much slow-mo as there was in there was not necessarily, but that being a minor issue, everything else, in my opinion, was fantastic. The CGI was really well done. The story, even though it felt kind of like a small timeline, it just felt like it fit.
Yes.
Because I was actually talking to someone yesterday about this at MLG Dallas, and There's a very fine line between what a Halo film would need to be. You would want it to where those who are active in Halo, active in the fiction, you want that movie aspect to be something that's not along the main storyline of Halo, not necessarily involving the Chief, but if you want to attract the people that are not necessarily into Halo as much as them, you want Chief in there. So this is almost a perfect blend of both of those, which I think is why Forward Into Dawn just hit so many audiences, even those that aren't big into Halo.
Right.
So that was just, they nailed this one out of the park. And I hope to see something come back for Halo 5. I hope they do some other live action thing for Halo 5. And maybe this is a prompt for another director to come by and say, hey, we can make a good movie out of this.
Well, why another director? Why don't we just keep the one we had? I think he did a great job. Stuart Handler?
I mean, yeah. If I didn't say it had to be a different director. I just said a director.
Okay.
Or maybe I misspoke. Sorry. But
No problem.
But let's get into this.
Yes.
Because we want to go to some launch parties, and we want to cover this real quick as well. there's a couple of people have been tweeting that they want something to listen to while they wait. So we figured if we can get something out that they can download on their phones, then it might be worthwhile. So this episode is pretty much it's the finale. So it's the wrap up of everything. And last we saw was Chief, Lasky, Silva, Sully, and Arinsky driving off in a hog out to get extracted. Sullivan has been, he was shot in the leg with a needle rifle round, so he's hurting pretty badly. Lasky is having an interesting time driving the Warthog.
You could say that.
It's just funny that it's like, yeah, he said he could drive a Warthog in the last episode, but we all knew that he really had no idea what he was doing, and it's definitely evident in this Warthog scene.
And he even says, you know, it's not as easy as it seems.
Yeah. that was just really, really funny. So there's this long scene of them driving through the forest, and it's a really cool effect how they have the night and have it in the nighttime, and then the Warthog lights, all the floodlights and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool to see how that all came together in that scene, because we saw tons of pictures of it back in, what, like July?
Yeah.
June timeframe with the hog in well, they had the scenes in during the day, and then we had some pictures at night, and it's just cool to see this all kind of come together.
Oh, yeah, and I think they did an amazing job with the Warthog.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks believable. I wish I could have one, but who wouldn't, you know?
Exactly. Who wouldn't want a, I don't even know how heavy the actual thing weighs, but 2-ton something. Well, it's a 2-ton super soldier, so maybe it's like a 4-ton car. I don't know. But yeah, who wouldn't want to drive a Warthog around with a massive chain gun mounted on top of it? So, at about a minute and a half in, we see Covenant movement kind of coming around the Warthog, and you knew that was going to happen with having a full episode to go and them trying to get to an extraction point. So the Covenant finally show up in about... another 20 seconds go by, and Chief says they have about 4 minutes until they lift off for extraction, and a plasma grenade just kind of pops up in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that they could really do about it, although it didn't really seem to do much damage. It exploded before the Warthog got there, so it was more just kind of like a cloud of dust that they ended up driving through, and kind of the little lightning bolts that a plasma would generate kind of went along the side of the Warthog, so that was really cool. Good CGI effects.
Yep.
Yeah. The plasma grenade, the glow of it kind of threw me off a little bit. I would have thought it would have been a darker blue.
Yeah. It still worked.
Yeah.
You know, I think
it worked.
They needed to contrast that color a bit more, you know, versus what you were seeing at night. So, you know, I can understand it. Plus, it was being hit by the light from the Warthog as well. So, you know.
True. That's true. It was still a really cool effect.
Oh, yeah.
After the plasma, we have just a line of jackals up on either side of the road with shields.
Now, didn't they look good, too? I thought they looked fantastic.
Yeah, they looked... The lighting on them from the hog, too, that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't seem like there was much lighting off of the shields too much.
And they really seemed a bit more thick than I would have suspected them to be.
Yeah, but, they didn't seem to glow as much on the surrounding stuff, and I think that's just part of the CGI was probably a little difficult to do it.
Yeah.
And the shields did seem thick. It seemed like there were most of the shields kind of lit up and not as transparent as you would normally think of from the games.
Right.
So I agree with you there. It didn't seem quite as thin as it was in the games. But Orinsky and Chowder start shooting off at the jackals, and Chief is like, don't spray and pray.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. It's like, yep, they're still cadets. They're still learning.
I love that term, too, because I've heard that, you know, and I think I probably have used it time here or there in Reach. So, yeah, that's it's funny.
Even yeah, so, especially coming from the Chief.
Burst too, which is... or has been a daily challenge in Reach, so that was kind of funny. And that usually applied to when you were killing grunts in campaign. So
right.
That was cool. I like those little subtle things to keep continuity together. It's just really cool.
Mm-hmm. There's also some marine lines that said shark control burst. It was in Halo 3, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so.
During one of the, kind of the scripted scenes.
I can't recall which, but
I don't exactly remember right either. Moving on, though. Chowder has some amazing aim if she can basically headshot jackals with an assault rifle traveling at 60 miles an hour.
Indeed.
Did you see those shots?
That was amazing.
I'm just like, that doesn't exactly seem possible, but I guess if she's the best shot, then it could make sense. Why not? Why not?
Yep.
And they take out all the Covenant as they're driving through the forest. And there's on the dash, it pops up. There's a warning. It says impact imminent. Please put on your seatbelt.
Yeah.
and Lasky just keeps driving. And he says, I think we got them all. And then there's this jackal that he runs into.
Yeah.
It's like, can you not read the warning sign? You were looking right at it, dude.
Yep. That wasn't a deer in the headlights either.
No, that was the jackal with the and the blood splat effect. That was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, I enjoy.
So, some jackal bits for dinner is what happened in that scene. So he runs into the jackal. The warthog stalls, and they can't get it to start up again. Sully is kind of hurting more, so Chief gives him a dose of some biofoam,
mm-hmm.
kind of patches him up. And then we find out that Kyler has been hit.
Yeah.
And she's been pretty mortally wounded hit.
Yeah, how about that? It, you know, sticking out of her abdomen, it's glowing purple, purplish pink. And
that's probably one of the coolest effects, I think, that we've seen in Forza de Dawn so far.
Yeah.
Just seeing that kind of embedded in there, that's what you would actually think it would look like.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a shocker to see, and it took Lasky a few seconds to realize that Kyler was injured. He was more worried about trying to get the Warthog to start up. And then
he looks over.
Then he looks over and yells at the Chief, and Chief's like, well, I have no more biofoam.
Yeah, you're kind of SOL there.
Sorry, I just used it on Sully over here because he was the one that was kind of having the problems at the time.
Yeah, if she would have just spoke up maybe a little sooner.
Just a little bit. And then after all that mess, Orinsky says that the Covenant are retreating, which you think would probably be a sigh of relief for them. Mm. But then Chief decides to drop the bomb. No, they're hunting us. And that's kind of a hint at what comes up next. I don't think the cadets really understood what that meant until a few moments later,
a hunter
shows up. Big, green, glowing, this beast, and you can just, I love the camera angle where it's just Chief looking up at the hunter, and then you see the other cadets like, oh my goodness gracious, we are screwed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Chief's already towering over him, and this thing's towering over Chief, so...
Yeah.
Ooh, you gotta kind of like, I think we're screwed, yeah.
Chief's more just standing there looking up, and he's like, okay, I can take care of this, and the cadets are just like, okay, we're screwed.
Yeah.
So Chief tells him to run off and get to safety while he takes care of the hunter and don't stop for anyone, especially him. They run around and they eventually get to one of the bunkers that's in the training grounds, the one with the mirrors on it.
Right.
And that's where we lose Kyler.
Yes.
That's where she kind of...
And you know what? I called it. If you go onto my website, it was on October 27th after we had watched it, I said I knew she had to die.
I remember you saying that on the podcast.
Yeah, in order for Lasky to really be galvanized and become a military man for life, she had to die. You know, effectively, he loses everybody he's ever cared anything for. We don't include his mom. You know, at this point, it's more of a military relationship rather than the mother and son relationship. And
that's where we lost Mahaffey.
Yeah,
that's where that relationship kind of fell through.
Exactly. So then to lose Kyler, the last one, you know, and probably would have been the love of his life, you know, that was enough. That was it.
Yeah.
It was sad to see.
Yeah, it was. And she gives him his dog tags and he's crying over it. Chief walks up and is like, I'm sorry, but we got to move on. They're still coming.
Well, I mean, he wasn't a complete jerk, though. You know, he did say he was sorry, you know.
So yeah, he did, but
there was a...
I mean, what else could he really say, right?
What's that?
What else could he really say?
Well, I mean, he could have just said, we got to go, you know, without saying I'm sorry. So at least he had some humanity there.
Right. After that, we have another hunter come around, kind of stalking them. That is after Lasky kind of stands there for a couple minutes, trying to still soak the fact that Kyler's gone.
Right.
He catches up with the rest of the squad. The hunter is kind of looming around. They end up, we're going to shotgun probably the rest of this. They end up hiding on the rock shelf, unless you have something to pull out.
Oh, go ahead. Keep going.
They hide under some rocks and kind of running away from the hunter, but the hunter is still kind of chasing them around.
Well, and also, don't forget real quick, the chief, you know, said, you know, hey, give me your ammo. And they were out. And
Lasky hands him one grenade.
Yep, and that's all that's left. A grenade against a hunter? Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, I forgot about the whole, we have his stun rounds.
Yeah. That was brilliant.
Because, I mean, that's what they train with. They never had live ammo to train with.
Right. But it was brilliant to have Lasky tell Arensky, hey, then you know, use the stun rounds to effectively anesthetize the wound, you know, or not to anesthetize the wound.
Yeah, it didn't help. She still passed away.
Yeah, she died.
Probably made the death a little bit more bearable for Kyler, but
yeah,
she still died.
Yep.
Die. So after kind of wandering around through the woods a little bit, being chased by this hunter, they kind of hunker down. And Chief comes up with this plan to distract the hunter and have the other cadets run off to the Pelican to get extracted while the Chief deals with the hunter on his own. But then Lasky decides to be all heroic and this is pretty much driven by Kyler being dead and he's lost pretty much everything at this point. So he just feels like the only
nothing thing left to live for.
Yeah, the only thing that he can do for the other guys is to run out and be the distraction so the rest of his squad can get out without anyone else getting hurt.
Right.
So he decides to run out, distract the hunter, and he gets a good distance, and we enter this whole slow-mo scene again.
Mm-hmm.
This whole slow-mo sequence. He gets shot at once, and the hunter finally comes around to where Chief can get a good angle on him. Chief tries to go up, but gets back smashed with that huge shield that the hunters carry.
Yeah, ouch.
Yeah. You just hear this metal clank, and you're just like, oh, that has to hurt.
That had to have, yes.
And Chief just brushes it off, and it's like, well, that didn't work out too well. And for some reason, the hunter goes back to Lasky, trying to shoot him down for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
After another shot, there's another whole slow-mo sequence. Really, really slow-mo this time. The hunter fires a shot, shoots Lasky up in the air. There's a bunch of dust and everything. Chief manages to hop on the hunter's back, primes the grenade, sticks it in his back, all the nice worms and stuff that you guys know and love about the hunters.
Oh, yeah.
The the Lococo? Yeah.
Yeah, but at that point when they're a hunter, then they're a mega Lococo.
Yeah. But beside the point, six grenades in, jumps off, massive orange explosion.
Oh, yes. Yes. Orange warm worm soup.
Yep. And I thought this was a little over the top, but him having to step on one of the other worms after the hunter blew up.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see that it's interesting to put in, but it's just maybe a little too graphic.
I liked it. I liked it too.
It's just like, really, guys? Was that really necessary? But no, it was still a pretty cool.
Yeah.
Chief and the rest of the cadets run over to Lasky to make sure he's okay. And Chief calls in for Kelly to bring the Pelican to where they are, since the threat is pretty much diminished by now. As you remember, Rimsky said the rest of the Covenant had run off already, and well, Chief already defeated the two hunters, so there was really no one else around to worry about. So He calls in the Pelican to pick them up. Chief picks up the charred bits of Kyler's dog tags, gives them to Lasky.
Well, not right then. It's a little bit later in the Pelican that he gives them to her.
Oh, okay. So he just picks it up then.
Yeah.
They make it to the Pelican, greeted by two other Spartans, Kelly and Fred. We saw Fred already during the Oni video that Sully managed to pull together.
Right. But not unmasked.
No. Yeah. No.
Well, now we
I was about to get to that. Yeah. So once they get on, Kelly and Fred take off their helmets to reveal that they're human as well. And
yeah, but what about those freaky eyes? Those eyes.
Yeah, they're genetically and biologically enhanced.
Yes, those were freaky.
Yeah. I thought that fit the character of a Spartan very well.
Yes, but it was still freaky.
Yeah.
I was looking at them like, oh my God, if they would have been red instead, they would have been like vampires, you know, but just that solid color like they were was just a little chilling. Human, but definitely different.
Definitely different. Yeah. Chief did not grace them with removing of his mask. So Chief's face is still unknown to everybody, and it'll always be unknown.
Yeah. I'm glad they did that.
Yeah. Me too.
I really would rather not know what he looks like.
Yeah. Well, and Chief was like blowing it off as like, I'm looking out the back and making sure nothing else happens.
Right.
There's no reason for me to take off my helmet right now. So I do like the question that they asked. It's like, how old are you? And they say, sorry, that's classified.
Right.
Because at this point, they're what? Like in their teens?
Yeah, like 16, 17.
Yeah.
Now, I had this discussion with somebody else, and I thought they would have been around like 25, but you know what, whatever, 16 to 25, anywhere in there. I mean, they're still quite young, you know, but you know, basically they're around the same age as the cadets, you know, and it's just
pretty
funny.
Pretty dang close. Yes.
Yeah. And it's just funny that, you know, the cadets are looking at them like, well, how old are you? You know, because like they're that age too, you know, and yet here, these guys are Spartans. You could tell they're battle hardened. They got scars in their face, you know, and they're bad.
No doubt about it. But yeah, so that question was one of those scenes where it's like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
Mm.
So that wraps up kind of the young Lasky side of the story. And then we get a flash forward. To current Lasky. And we go back to the recording bit. So we
come full circle.
Yeah, we come full circle right to where we entered into young Lasky's flashback. And the comms officer is like, do you want to repeat it again? And he's like, nope. And basically orders the whole ship.
Actually, that's – I thought that it was a comm officer as well. But I believe it's actually the AI. Anyways, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. Continue.
Either or.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter at this point I'm getting, but he says no, and I guess he's kind of thinking back. It's like, well, Chief helped save me, so I guess it's kind of my turn.
Right.
So they go after him, and he suits up for cryo. There's this whole scene where it shows him putting on his cryo suit. He has all the freezer burns lined up.
Looks and like he's got some new ones too.
Yeah, I'm sure the thoughts going through his mind is like, I'm doing this for you, Chief. I wouldn't be doing it for anyone else.
Right.
So he has that serious look. It's like, well, I'm going to do it.
Right. Time to go.
Mm-hmm. And that pretty much wraps up For Another Dawn.
Yeah. Well, there is, of course...
There's the extended bit, yeah.
Just the last little bit at the very end with Cortana, where she dematerializes from the orb that we see and then rematerializes back to the Cortana that we're all very well aware of, although it's the Halo 4 version, which I actually have grown to very much like. The face of her is the face of Mackenzie Mason, the actress that did the physical motion capture part for Cortana. You know, I really like the look of her, the way they did her. But then, yeah, so she rematerializes. She hesitates to activate, the cryotube to thaw him out. But then the scene then goes from her to looking at him through the glass. And mm-hmm. then you see, the Halo 4, armor on Master Chief.
Yeah, which I'm still not exactly sure how that happened.
Yeah, me either. At this point, I don't really care anymore. I just want to play.
exactly. But yeah, it was interesting to see that coming full circle with all the campaign related bits. So we've seen a couple of scenes already where it's like Cortana's like covering over that button from like actual in game point of view.
Right.
And then we have this full circle now with Cortana being left off at the end of Halo 3, and we had each bit except for the very first episode, right? Because that was Lasky.
I guess that's
the Mayday. So that the Mayday was the thing that was, so it starts off there, and you see Cortana progressively go rampant and go through these stages up until what we now have is the game. So we kind of see how Cortana spent her time over the last 4.5 years.
Right.
And now we have Halo 4.
Thank goodness, because I want to rush out the door and get to my event. No, but yeah, I'm very excited. The series was fantastic. Don't forget that the Blu-ray and DVD will be coming out soon, and there will be extended bits and cutscenes and whatnot on there. So make sure you get that.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that. I'm actually getting the limited edition, so I'll be seeing that.
Yeah, I am
tomorrow.
Too. Yep. Yeah,
so we'll have another show about that as well.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, I'm feverishly working to finish up the last graphic novel for this episode. In fact, I've been doing that while we've been talking. But
I don't blame you, dude.
Yeah. Well, you know. Oh my God, my weekend was just jam packed with stuff. I did another podcast. I had.
I was at Dallas, so I basically had. I couldn't really do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to finish up some posters. I'll be handing out 75 posters tonight at my GameStop. I've got
nice.
What else did I do? Oh, I changed the background on my blog, which is HaloFanForLife.com. Again, if you guys don't mind me plugging that again, it was just an extremely busy weekend, but fun, all Halo related and all just a lot of fun.
Yeah, tomorrow for me is going to be half and half playing and doing stuff for Podtacular. So
yeah, that's me too for my blog. Yep. As much as I want to, you know, get into the game and just play the game for 12 hours straight, you know, we have other responsibilities to the Halo community.
That's true. It's a blessing and a curse in disguise.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I want to
for you guys, cause we love you.
Yes. We love our fans. So I want to thank Halo Fan for Life for coming on and doing all these shows. We will have him on again for our finale, For Another Dawn, talking the extended version in the upcoming 2 weeks or so. If you guys have not watched all the episodes, I suggest you watch them front to back. I would say watch them all before you actually play the game, because there is a lot of kind of filler in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to do a lot of backfilling for Lasky as we see him get introduced into the game. So if you're listening to this and you're playing the game and you haven't watched all of the episodes of For Another Dawn yet, stop. Go watch the bits that you haven't watched and then start the game back up again.
Right. Agreed.
And if you're listening to this in standing in line for some reason, you are a dedicated Podtacular fan. I applaud you. Because by the time this comes out, you're probably... Well, depending on your time zone, you're either waiting 3 hours or 5 hours, 6 hours until the game comes out. So I want to thank you guys for all of your support as well. You guys have been kind of, it's just a major boost of confidence. The numbers that we get is just still constantly growing. And it was a blessing to me to see how many people actually recognize the name Podtacular at an MLG event. So that's been great for me. Our name is slowly getting back out there, which is a good thing. And we can't do it without you guys and without you helping spread the word. So thank you guys for listening. We will be doing a slew of podcasts coming up in the next several weeks. We will have a survey out tomorrow. I know I've been promising it over the past couple weeks, but I have it almost nearly completed. I just need to do some format changes, and then it will be posted tomorrow. So the day the game comes out is the day that the survey will be posted up there, so you guys can comment on what topics you want to see covered for Halo 4 first, what's most important to you. We're likely going to do a format where we're going to cover campaign, multiplayer, Spartan Ups, and whatever the waypoint update, if they're still doing that. So we'll probably do one show that covers all four of those topics, maybe be an hour and a half to 2 hours, and that's going to be our regular show. So you guys have that to look forward to. We will be giving out some stuff away over Twitter, and we may have a couple of auction items coming out soon as well. Details to come out later. But thank you guys again for listening. Remember, you can check out our website, podtacular.com, and while you're there, check out our forums. You can also check us out on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Hopefully we'll be doing some achievement guides for you. We'll see how quickly I can get those out. Probably not as quickly as most other people, but we're going to still try them anyways. Also, make sure you check out Monday Night Matchmaking. We'll be resuming that either next week or the week after. So we get a party together, we'll go into big team matchmaking, we'll just have fun as long as we want. That usually starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. That may change due to my time commitments possibly changing due to work, but we will keep you guys updated on how that comes along. And that wraps up the show. Thank you guys again. I think that's the third time. But we will see you next time.